everyone. This is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. Today's episode is going to be talking about life insurance as a means of building a legacy. And this is going to be, of course, a continuation of the series I began, I think it was in episode 3, talking about the 10 steps to building a wealth legacy. And this is going to be, I think, step number two. Which is dealing with insurance. Now, of course, I had mentioned before there's a lot of different kinds of insurance. We're going to focus today on life insurance and what all that entails. But before we do that, I want to take care of some business. First of all, make sure that you're checking in onto the website on a regular basis. I'm continuing to increase the items that are available on there for download, as well as continuing to make some changes to the website to make it more valuable to those who are listening. So I appreciate you if you stop by there. Also, I want to let you know to tell your friends and family. You can connect with us on Facebook and let others know about the Legacy Podcast and what we're doing here. And also, if you know of anybody who might be a good interview for me, I'm about ready to start doing some interviews, so you can let me know about that at steve@thelegacypodcast.net. If you have any questions or comments or just some general idea questions, I would appreciate that as well, and you can reach me at feedback@thelegacypodcast.net. You can also use the Contact Me page on the website if you'd prefer to do that, and that will go directly to me. You can put some notes in there as well. And then also, finally, I want to ask that if you have some interest in this and you want to keep updated as to some of the changes that are being made on the website and when new podcasts come out, then I would ask you to submit to our subscription service, which you can do that on the right-hand column. You'll see a place where it says subscribe to the Legacy Podcast newsletter and email updates, and that will enable you to be aware of any changes that are made and updates and news reports regarding the Legacy Podcast. And it also helps me to be able to keep a tab on who is listening and what kind of value I am providing to you. And hopefully I am providing a value to you and helping you think more about building a legacy. And really my goal is to help you to inspire you and instruct you on areas of interest in terms of building a legacy. So anyway, that's what we're going to do. And today's episode, of course, is going to be on life insurance. So that just about takes care of the business portion of the podcast. So let's go ahead and take care of the content then. First of all, the question I want to ask is, one of the things we have to ask first is why is life insurance important when it comes to building a legacy? Well, the main reason is because without it, it is really difficult if you were to pass away to leave any kind of financial legacy. And so that kind of brings up the first question, which is, why do we have life insurance? And if you're a life insurance agent, of course, you want to make sure everybody has life insurance because you get paid on it. But for most of us, that's not the reason why we are interested in life insurance. The reason we're interested in life insurance is we want to be able to replace something that is lost, mainly ourselves, if we were to pass away prematurely. And so just like with any other kind of insurance, life insurance is designed to replace the income or replace the value of the person who has been killed. And you can never truly replace somebody, and certainly we would not want anybody to look at insurance as a means of replacement. And yet financially, that's exactly what it does. It replaces lost wages or lost value. And, there is a small need if you are going to be in tax brackets and to asset classes where you will have to pay an exorbitant amount of taxes on estate taxes when you pass away. And I'm going to have a podcast on on estate taxes and why I think that's one of the most insidious types of taxes that is present today. And there is, of course, some exclusions in terms of amount of assets that you have upon death that would not count towards your estate. But life insurance does. And so some people, if they have to pay a lot in estate taxes, end up buying some life insurance to cover that for the cost of their heirs, but I don't really necessarily recommend that. I never really have, and so, but there are some who choose to do that. Now, just to kind of give you an idea as to why it is important, and particularly as it relates to legacy building, to get good life insurance, is I want to tell you a story. First of all, what would you think about a man who, after he has been married for 10 or 15 years, and he's the father of a couple of kids, and he comes home one day and he tells his wife, he says, "You know what? I'm done. I don't want anything else to do with you. I don't want anything else to do with my kids. And, you know, I'm taking everything that we have in the checking account. I'm taking our vehicles. And I'll give you the house because we've got a big mortgage on it. But everything of value I'm taking with me, and I'm skipping town. And you'll never see me again. And don't want you to contact me. And you're on your own." Well, what would you think about a man like that? Well, most of us would consider a man like that a deadbeat. And, of course, we could probably think of some worse names that we might call somebody like that. But a deadbeat would certainly be a description of a man like that. Well, let's put that same scenario in a little bit different light. Let's suppose that a man who loves his family, loves his kids, and heads off to work one day, and on his way to work, he gets into an accident and is killed. So he's left his family. But the worst case is that he didn't have any insurance, didn't have any life insurance. And so now he's left his family with absolutely nothing. He's not there, and he hasn't provided any kind of financial resources for them. Well, what would you call a man like that? Well, most of the time, we're pretty easy on a man like that. And we say, well, you know, he had good intentions, or, well, he was a good man. He just didn't seem to, you know, think about this or something like that. Well, without sounding too hard, really the same thing is true with a man who doesn't provide for his house in that regard. He's a deadbeat. And so if you're going to leave a legacy to your family, one of the things that is absolutely essential is that you make provisions for your death. Now, hopefully, you never have to use life insurance. But that's really what you're doing when you're purchasing life insurance, is you are making provisions for your death. That's what a responsible man does. That's what a man who wants to leave a financial legacy, a legacy of responsibility to the next generation. And so that's why we get life insurance, is we want to be able to leave a financial legacy in case we are not able to be around to provide it. We can have resources available to provide it through insurance. So that brings up the second question. That is, what kind of life insurance should we get? Well, there are basically two kinds out there. There's what's called cash value life insurance, which is a two-in-one product, really, where you have a savings account combined with the insurance product itself, and goes under a lot of different names. They all kind of fall into that classification. There's variable universal life, flexible premium life. There's whole life. There's variable life. There's a lot of different terms for it, but all of those categories, or all of those different names and types, fall under the one general category of cash value. And the way you can tell if you got a cash value policy is if it has some cash value, or if it has a cash value component to it. If there's a savings account attached to the policy, anything where you could draw money off, or any kind of cash value accumulation, that's a cash value product. The other type is what's called term insurance. And we're going to look at both of these kind of a little bit more in depth. First of all, let's look at cash value. We've already mentioned there's a lot of different kinds, and that's primarily so that they can work in a different way in terms of the savings account and whether you want to maximize the insurance or whether you want to maximize the savings portion of it. And they can arrange insurance, that is, insurance companies and agents can arrange those policies so that they can be more heavily favored in one of those directions and so tailor it more towards the customer. Now, the drawbacks to a cash value policy, let's first of all talk about the benefits. The benefit of cash value policy is as long as you maintain the premiums, and in most cases, the premiums will stay the same unless you've got a flexible premium variable life policy, or universal policy, which would require your premiums to go up over time. But for the most part, your premiums are going to stay the same, and as long as you pay those premiums, you'll have insurance forever till you pass away or till 100 or 95 or something like that. There's, an end point eventually. But for the most part, they are permanent policies. And that's another name for them, is that they are permanent policies. And that is the argument that people use. Well, I want to be able to have insurance forever. Well, do you really need insurance forever? Well, let's take a look at that for a second. Let's suppose that you are 30 years old, you've got a couple kids at home, and you've got responsibilities to provide for that family, a wife and a couple of kids, and you've got, school to pay for, and you've got just, general responsibilities, and you're bringing in the majority of the income for that household. If you were to pass away, absolutely, you need insurance. But let's fast forward 40 years. Now you're 70, kids are all gone, you've got grandkids that are, nearing the age of adulthood, if not already there. And they're all on their own, and you've got your paid for house. You're living off of your pension or your 401k reserves. And do you need life insurance at that point? Well, no, you don't have anybody financially responsible for you. You're not bringing in an income that is not active income. It's passive income, which means that it can also be supplied to your heirs upon your death. And so there's no need for life insurance at that point. So you really only need life insurance for the specific term. That's where term life insurance comes in. It's not permanent insurance, but it's for a specific term. So let's go back then to looking at some of the drawbacks to permanent insurance or cash value insurance. Well, one of the drawbacks is it's very expensive compared to term insurance. No, part of the reason for that, of course, is because you are getting a cash savings account combined with the insurance. But part of also the reason is that you're paying for the premiums, over the life of the entire time that you have it. So for your whole life, they've got it calculated in there. So your premiums are going to be higher in that regard as well. And so, it's very difficult for a young family who is trying to maximize their insurance to be able to get permanent insurance that can provide them with enough insurance and still have the costs capable of being paid on the premiums. And so that's one of the drawbacks. Another drawback is that you've got some complications with how it works, and particularly the savings amount. And just so you kind of know how that works, I want to draw you a story or draw you a picture. Let's suppose that I'm a bank and I am going to provide you with a depository bank, and you decide you're going to come to my bank and you're going to make deposits there. And I tell you, okay, well, that's great. Here's the rules of my bank. First of all, when you deposit your money into my bank for the first 2 or 3 years, I'm going to take all your deposits. So, if you're depositing $50, $100, whatever it is, every month into my bank, well, I've got to cover expenses and costs and things like that. And so I'm going to take all of those premium payments, all of those payments that you make into your bank, I'm going to take all those for the first 2 or 3 years. Not a very good program so far, is it? Well, maybe the second principle will help you out. And second principle is that, because you're banking with me, I'm going to give you, some interest. But the interest is going to be very, very minimal. Now, in today's environment, most banks pay very minimal as well. And yet, you can expect to have comparable interest rates to maybe inflation or something like that when you put it into a whole life program, cash value program, something like that. Now, there are other programs such as, you know, a variable universal program where you can actually invest the cash value portion into mutual funds or some kind of variable security, and you can get closer to market returns, things like that. But there's a lot of fees associated with it, so you know the chances of getting market returns are not very much. And of course, right now with the market being so up and down, that's a very risky proposition as well. And so the second principle is, though, that you'll get very little money as a return on the money that you put in. So far, my bank's not so good, is it? Well, maybe it gets better. Number three is that if you want to get the money out, you want to withdraw from your bank, you can do that, but you have to take a loan on that money. That money's really not yours to take out. You see, it's in the policy, and so if you take the money out, you have to pay back the money, but the interest goes back to me. And, you know, because, you know, I don't want to just give you this money for free, right? I mean, it's, you know, we're in kind of a contract deal here, right? So the third one is that you've got to pay me back interest for the money that you take out. Now, I know that's very different than the bank that you bank down with the local bank, but, you know, I've got a bank here I've got to make money on, so that's how it works. So far we've got, you lose all your deposits first 2 or 3 years. You get very little interest. Number four is if you take the money out, you've got to pay me a high percentage interest in return. And then number four, and this is the worst of all of the features of a cash value program, and that is that if you die, I get to keep all your money that's in the cash value. Now, in most cases, that's the way it works. There are a few exceptions to that with the cash value program, and so you want to make sure an agent looks it over thoroughly and gives you, you know, a proper recommendation on this. But for the most part, that's how it works. And so you're going to lose all of your deposits when you die, as well as the first 2 or 3, even while you're living. And of course, they, you know, the insurance company argues that, well, you're getting the face amount of the policy as your death benefit. And so you don't need the cash value anymore. But if you think about it this way, if you were to deposit that money even under your mattress or in a jar or something like that, and you were to pass away, you would still get the cash, you would still get the face amount, but you'd also get the money that you set aside into the jar. And so you should get both, but that's not the way it works with the permanent cash value program. And so those are the drawbacks with the permanent insurance. Now, how does term work? Well, first of all, let's look at the drawbacks of term policy. The drawback of term policy is that it's for a term, so it ends after a while. So if you need it for all your life, term product is not necessarily the best. But what are the advantages? Well, the advantages are that it's affordable. You can get life insurance for less than car insurance. And so, you know, it is a remarkable buy for its money. And so it's very inexpensive. Another benefit to life insurance, term life insurance, is that you're not paying for the cash value portion of it. You can actually do that somewhere else. And so there was Art Williams, back when he developed the program of Buy Term and Invest the Difference, he came up with this concept saying that if you take the difference that you were paying for your whole life policy and buy a term policy and then take the difference and put it into an investment program, you'll always come out ahead. And he's right. You'll always do better if you do your saving and investing differently than in the policy of a life insurance. And so you want to do them separately. You want to buy term and invest the difference, or save the difference. And so those are that's the benefit of term policy. Now, there are a few different kinds of term policies. There are what's called annual renewable term, or ART. And really what that is just as the name indicates, that your premiums will renew each year. And of course, at your renewal date, the premiums typically go up because you're an age older. Now, sometimes in a workplace environment, you have like a group policy, and it is a tiered aged policy. So maybe every 5 years you will have a renewal, and upon that the age will change and you will have to pay more for your insurances that way. And then there is the level term, which is what I usually advocate. And that's, you know, a 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, you know, that kind of thing. Level premium term policy, which means that the premium stays the same during the life of that term. And then there is the what's called a return of premium term life insurance policy, which means that if you keep the policy for the life of the term, if you haven't passed away, you can actually get all your premiums back at the end of the policy. Now, this also obviously would cost more on a monthly basis than if you were just buying a regular term policy, but you have that guarantee of returning the money back. It's a cash value policy that's only for a term is really the best way to look at that. And so that's okay for select individuals at certain times. And probably the best time you would want to purchase that is if you're forced to buy insurance for somebody else. Let's say you have an ex-wife or an ex-husband, something like that, and you have to have insurance on them or have to carry insurance on yourself. You wouldn't ordinarily do something like that. Well, this would allow you to be able to at least get your premiums back at the end of the term if you didn't use the policy. But ordinarily, I don't recommend that either. Now, there is new now in the field what's called the living benefits to term policies. And you can find them in permanent policies as well. But, of course, I don't advocate those very often. So in term policies, you can get riders that will allow you to have money that you can access if there's a terminal illness or a critical illness or a chronic illness. If there's, you know, different kinds of long-term care or disability, those kinds of things, you can actually access some of the money and then pro rata reduce the amount of benefits at a later date on your policy. And so there are some additional riders that are coming out now on term policies that are making them much more attractive. And you might want to look into some of those as well. Talk to an agent and have them look at that. Now, in order to help understand the difference between a term policy and a cash value policy, I want to tell you another story. And the story goes like this. Let's suppose you go down to your hardware store, and your hardware store has two refrigerators. You're in the market for a refrigerator, and there's two refrigerators there. One is a $3,000 refrigerator, but they're guaranteeing that after 10 years, you can get that, you can replace that refrigerator with a brand new refrigerator. Okay, so you have a 10-year refrigerator, guaranteed warranty, pay the $3,000, and after 10 years, you can get a brand new refrigerator. Well, the second one is a $2,000 refrigerator, but after the 2 years, after the 10 years, you will not get a replacement. And so the question is, which one's better? Well, some people would say that the first one's better because you get a guarantee after the 10 years to get a replacement, whereas on the other one, you're out $2,000, you never get a replacement. Well, the difference is that if you take the $1,000 between the $2,000 and the $3,000, and you were to set that aside and invest that in, you know, something good that would be able to earn the additional money, $1,000 double, you'd be able to actually get more out of your refrigerator if you did that. Especially this holds true the longer you've set it out. So if you have a 20-year guarantee or a 30-year guarantee, the refrigerator is going to last you for 30 years and then you can replace it versus only 10 years. It's much more significant. And so this just teaches the principle of buying term and investing the difference. And most people don't realize that with the same kind of thing. It's the same kind of principle that we might advocate in other places. If you buy a good quality one early, then it will prevent having to be replaced later on. And so you buy enough insurance now, and then later you won't need any eventually because you can save the difference and build up the cash yourself. So why life insurance? We've looked at that. What kind of insurance? We've looked at that. We pretty much, in most everybody's case that's probably listening to this podcast, you want to get term insurance. The next thing is, how do we purchase it? How much do we need? How do I get a hold of someone that can give me a good quote? And how can I know that they're, you know, giving me the best kind of rate, that kind of thing? Well, the first thing you want to do is you want to talk to an independent representative, an independent agent. By that, I mean someone who represents a lot of different companies. I used to work for a company named Primerica that, you know, they taught all the right things, but they only had one product when it came to life insurance, a term life product. And because of that, they were limited. And, of course, the only product they ever recommended life insurance-wise was their product. And this can be a great disadvantage to the customer when they can't shop around. Now, more recently, of course, I've worked with a company that can represent lots and lots of different companies. And so we're able to shop around and find the best rate for most people. And that's really what you want. You want to find somebody who is an independent agent who is able to shop around and find the best rate and the best value for their customers and not have any particular loyalty to any one company. And, you know, this is just the principle that you've probably heard before, that if you all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Well, if all you have is one product, then everybody looks like the person who needs that product. And that's not true. Not everybody's the same. Not everybody needs the same product. So you need to find somebody who can be able to evaluate your situation honestly, without bias, and come up with a good recommendation for it. Second thing to consider in this is that you want to get an individual policy. Now, you may be able to have life insurance through your work. You may be able to be offered what's called group insurance, and your company may be able to provide it for you. You may have one, two, three, sometimes four or five times your current income into that program. But that's not enough, for one thing. And secondly, then you get into this whole problem of with health insurance. When you lose your employer, you lose your health insurance. Well, when you lose your employer, you lose your life insurance. What happens if you got sick and you lose your job? In fact, we've had a situation in our company where I didn't write the case, but somebody I knew had written a case like this where, you know, they had they were a smoker, and so they only got a little bit of personal insurance on themselves, and then they ended up, you know, having most of it through their work, and then they ended up getting sick, and when they went on long-term disability from their company, the requirements were that if they were on long-term disability, then they lost other benefits, and then this person eventually passed away. Their widow then went to collect on the life insurance, and of course their company told them, well, they didn't have any life insurance anymore. And because they had relied upon their group insurance rather than upon individual insurance. So you want to get an individual policy. Sometimes this might be more. Sometimes this will be less expensive than getting it through a group policy. But that's the kind you want. You want an individual policy. Now, how much do you need? This is something that you will want to evaluate maybe before or after you talk to an agent. But certainly an agent should be able to walk you through it. The way that I look at it is you need about 10 to 15 times your income. So if you are the main breadwinner and you're bringing in $50,000, you need to have $500,000 to $750,000 of life insurance. Now, I have a variable there because everybody's situation is differently. They may have more assets available. They may have more responsibilities at home. Their job may be, they may be in a situation where they need some additional income coming in if they were to pass away or something like that. So there's a couple of ways you can look at it. You can look at that strictly as the 10 to 15% rule, which is, or 10 to 15 times rule, which is what I just described there. Or you can use what's called a value of life evaluation, which takes into consideration not only the amount of income that you need, but the certain situation as to the immediate needs that you have for eliminating debt and for paying off expenses and providing for college funding for children, these kinds of things, and then comes up with a scenario from that. And what I pretty much found out is they basically come to about the same, whether you do the value. And the best way to calculate the value is using a method called DIME, D-I-M-E. And D stands for death, and so usually you want to calculate about $25,000 or so to cover final expenses and funeral expenses, those kinds of things. And then I stands for income. This is the amount of income that you would need coming in assuming the rest, which is mortgages paid off, and M stands for mortgage and debt. So if you have car debt, you've got student loans, you've got mortgages, those kinds of things, you want to be able to have enough insurance to cover those if you were to pass away. And then the E stands for education. So if you want to be able to provide for the education of your children in your absence, if you were to pass away, then you'd have that covered through your insurance. So you can look at that. You can look at the D, M, and E, and then subtract that from the 15 times, and that would give you the income that you would need. So you can use those variables as a way to determine, but 10 to 15 times is a good general rule. Usually if you get 10 times, then it's not quite enough because you really need another 5 times to pay off the debts and things like that. And so 10 to 15 times is a good rule, and that will be able to get you in the ballpark. Talk to an agent. They'll be able to work out those numbers and crunch those numbers for you. Now, one major thing you want to be aware of is you never want to cancel your old insurance until you have your new insurance in place. And so when you're filling out the application, and if you're replacing old insurance, maybe a cash value policy you're paying too much money for, and you want to replace it into a good term policy, something like that, you never want to cancel your old program until you've got a new one in place. And, of course, the reason for this is obvious. You don't want to maybe not get, maybe there's a medical problem or something, you don't get coverage on the new policy. Well, you don't want to have canceled the old policy and not be able to get any coverage at all. And so you want to make sure one's covered, or the new one's covered, before you cancel the old one. And that should be able to get you on the way. So hopefully that helps you get a perspective on life insurance and be able to work through some of those difficult questions as they are aware. Now, I'm going to put into the show notes a link to my recommended resource to go to get good quality life insurance. And the people that work at this company, they'll be able to help you get good quality insurance at the least price. Shop around for the ones that will fit you the most. They're just like I mentioned. They'll get you individual policies 10 to 15 times. They're independent agents, so they'll be able to shop around. So they're who I recommend, and the Heroes Financial Academy. And you can put a link, or I'll put a link on there, and you can punch on them, talk to somebody down there, and they will be able to help you out if you're interested in that kind of thing. If you don't have insurance, then you need to get it, and you can't wait anymore on that, because you never know when your time is up. And, you know, we are all appointed a day. We're all appointed to live, and then after that, the judgment. And so we never know when our next breath may come. And it is irresponsible for us, especially if we are considering people, or if we are trying to be people who leave a legacy, to not make appropriate arrangements so that our heirs, our wife, our children, whoever it might be, has financial resources that we would ordinarily provide during our life upon our death. And so get this in place. This is essential into a financial program. And when you do, then you can rest assured knowing that you are building your legacy financially on a solid foundation. And with that, this has been another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy? Just one life.